Let's continue by reading verses 10 through 13 of this first chapter of John. In these verses, we have the rejection and the reception of the light of the world. We also have a clear presentation of how not to be saved. John 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Once again, some background notes. In verse 10, we read, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The word world is used by John and throughout the rest of the New Testament in three different ways. First of all, it's used in reference to the created world, this material universe. Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, in Paul's speech to the Athenians, he said, God who made the world and everything in it. That's this material universe. And I believe we have that in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world, that is the material universe, the world was made through him. A second way in which this word world is used is the world of people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not talking about the material universe there, but people. And that's the way the word world is used here at the end of verse 10. The world did not know him. The world of people. Sometimes it's hard to tell whether the created universe is in view or the world of people, or maybe both. Maybe both are in view here in verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. The beginning of verse 10, he was in the world. That is, not only in this material universe, but the world of people. Both could be in view there. Well, the third way in which this word world is used is in reference to the evil satanic system that is opposed to God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You say, wow, that sounds like a contradiction in the Bible. It says God so loved the world, and here it says don't love the world. It's just two different uses of the word world in Scripture. We find it used that way in the Gospel of John as well. John chapter 15, 18 and 19. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John 16, verse 11, the Lord said, the ruler of this world is judged, referring to Satan. John 17, verse 16, the Lord in his high priestly prayer, referring to his disciples, said, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. More scriptures we could give. But you see that in the Gospel of John, as well as the rest of the New Testament, the word world is used in these three different ways. So it's important to keep these distinctions in mind to avoid confusion. That brings us to our doctrinal points from these verses, John 1, 10 through 13. And doctrinal point number one would be this. Mankind has rejected both general revelation and special revelation. Mankind has rejected both general revelation and special revelation. Now, what do we mean by general revelation, and what do we mean by special revelation? General revelation has to do with the ways that God has revealed himself through nature and providence and the moral conscience of people. Special revelation refers to Christ and the Bible, those special ways in which God has revealed himself. Well, all mankind has rejected both general revelation and special revelation, and I think we see that taught in these verses. In verse 10, we read, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Does that phrase, he was in the world, at the beginning of verse 10, refer only to the time after his incarnation? That is, after Christ came into the world? Or does it go back even before the time of the incarnation? He was in the world. That is, even before the light of the world came into the world that had been made through him, he was already in the world. It would be the same idea as in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Well, if this is the case, then general revelation is being referred to in verse 10. But we see from verse 10 that it was rejected. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Again, as Romans 1, verse 28 says, they did not retain God in their knowledge. They rejected general revelation. But now you see in verse 11, we move on now to special revelation. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. What's very interesting here in verse 11 is that these two his owns, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Those two his owns are different in gender in the Greek language. The first is the neuter gender, and the second is the masculine. So you could paraphrase this verse, he came to all that was his own land, his own temple, his home, but his own people, the nation of Israel, rejected him. Mankind has rejected both general revelation and special revelation. Notice, by the way, the intensified rejection here. At the end of verse 10, the world did not know him. Again, Romans 1:28, they retained him not in their knowledge. But in reference to special revelation, verse 11 says, they did not receive him. They knew who he was, but they refused to receive him. Mankind has rejected both general revelation and special revelation, then and today. Doctrinal point number two. Life in the family of God does not come naturally. Life in the family of God does not come naturally. Verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It is possible to be part of God's family. Verse 12. Think of it, to have life in the family of God. But now notice how you don't get it. Verse 13 shows us that it does not come naturally, not of blood. For the Jews then, it did not come by being born a Jew, being a descendant of Abraham. For us, it does not come by being born into a Christian home, having Christian parents. It is not by natural descent. And it's not of the will of the flesh. Life in the family of God does not come by human effort. No amount of human work, sacrifices then or good works now, can get you into the family of God. You don't receive life in the family of God by the will of the flesh. You see, physical life can come about by the will of the flesh. If a husband and a wife decide to have children, it's natural. It's a biological process, but not with spiritual life. It does not come about naturally. And it is not of the will of man. Someone else can't get you into the family of God. The prophets and the priests in that day couldn't get anyone life in the family of God. They could only point the way. Same is true today. Preachers, priests, parents can't get you into the family of God. They can't even get life in the family of God themselves by their willpower, let alone get somebody else in. You see, with natural birth, it can be a matter of human will. It's the natural outcome of marriage and the will to have children. But spiritual life does not come naturally. Life in the family of God does not come naturally. Well, how does it come then? Well, that's the gospel. That's the good news. The answer is in verse 12. It's simple and straightforward. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. There it is. Receive Christ and believe in his name, and you receive life in the family of God. To receive Christ means to personally receive him as your Savior. To believe in his name means to believe all the truth about him, all that his name stands for. Not just that he was a historical person, but that he is God. He came into this world to save sinners, died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, to receive life in the family of God. That's the way you receive it, to trust Christ as your personal Savior. If you meet these qualifications, God gives you, verse 12, the right. Notice, God gives you, it's a gift, God gives you the right to have life in the family of God, to become children of God. Salvation is a gift. You know the well-known scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Life in the family of God does not come naturally. It's a gift of God's grace. And finally, practical application from these verses. Have you really become a Christian? Have you really become a Christian? In any church, there is always the possibility that some folks think they're Christians, but they've never really become Christians. Maybe you've heard the following question. You know, if you were to die tonight and find yourself standing outside the gates of heaven, and the Lord were to appear to you and say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What would you say? If you were to say something like, "Well, Lord, I've been a Christian all my life. My grandparents helped build this church." Or if you were to say something like, "Well, Lord, you know, I did the best I could. I'm not perfect, but I did the best I could." Or, "Lord, you know, I went to church as often as possible. I helped out in a lot of the programs. I gave sacrificially of my time, even of my money." Or if you were to say something like, "Well, I was really involved in our community, good programs there. And I even did those things in the name of Christ." I'm so sorry. Those answers would reflect exactly what we have in verse 13. Of blood, of the will of the flesh, of the will of man, but not of God. There's only one right answer. "Lord, you died for my sins, and I received you. I believed in your name. I didn't just believe in you as a historical person. I committed myself to you. You gave me the right to be in God's family. I have life because you gave it to me. I have received you as my personal Savior." If that's the answer you would give, that's the right answer. I hope you would give that answer. Have you really become a Christian?